Welcome to the Protein Bites Experience with your host, Adriano Rizzo. Guys, it's lovely to chat to you. It's lovely to be here. And I'm really excited to bring you this podcast as I just love talking. Okay. I love talking about things that I know. And I also really love knowing that you guys are listening on the other end. Now, even if it is only my clients listening, I don't really give two fucks. Okay. But the fact that some people are getting some use out of this, I'm having a look at my analytics. And a lot of people are watching the whole episode once they tune in, or listening to the whole episode once they tune in. So for me, that's like, I'm practically jerking myself off all day. I'm loving this shit, right? This is fucking for ego, for life fulfillment, for success of the podcast, meaning it is bringing value to my people that I care about, which is you guys listening. I'm loving it. So thank you so much for an enjoyable podcasting experience on my end. And thanks to you guys for enjoying it. I'm going to continue on. Today, we're going to talk about a few things. Got some exciting news. I've been reaching out to some guests who are going to come on the podcast. I think I want to set up a separate Instagram page for this. It's going to be called the Protein Bites Podcast. Protein Bites PBP. You know, acronyms, this, that. So I can get out shorts and that sort of stuff and promote the podcast in its own way. Now, I'm going to talk about systemizing your life to maximize your life and being non-emotional or non-reactive to your life and how that can be beneficial. So, a few things I've learned about myself over the years. Now, quick backstory, I grew up in a really fucking tumultuous, non-present, emotionally abusive home, among other things, sure. And through that experience, I have sought out love and approval in ways that I either got or didn't get in childhood. So I guess I sought intimate relationships that were really familiar of the way that my mum used to give me love, or my dad used to, or didn't used to, I suppose, but really used to, I suppose, it was their own brand of care and love. So I would seek that in intimate relationships. And then I'd also seek the approval and the attention that I never got from external relationships. So like, you know, this is kind of why I want to give back and help. It's kind of why I was a carer for my granddad for like fucking 9 years, who was in a wheelchair. It was all these things in my life that I've come to understand. And so as a result, through understanding that self-awareness pattern, going through a bunch of therapy to work with that, understand who I am and why I kind of do what I do, and then how to overcome that. It's a long fucking journey. But along that journey, I've come to understand some things about myself. Yes, this is a very long-winded way of talking about the importance of systemization. Okay. What I've done through those, through self-awareness, therapy, all that sort of stuff, is understanding what I really like and what I really don't like, and then working to have and carve out the dream life for me that may happen in, you know, I thought in 10 years I'd be at exactly where I wanted to be. Safe to say I've almost somewhat exceeded my expectations of 10 years where I wanted to be. But yeah, we're still moving, right? So how to systemize your life to maximize your life. I'm going to give you guys like a couple of things that really helped me. And I can see a lot of, parents or adults that listen to the podcast that say you've moved into your own space, you travel to work, all that sort of stuff. So I'm going to say like location to work. Now for me, there is a reason why I applied and offered to pay extra for a unit that I live in now, so I could be 3 minutes drive away from my work at all times. I do morning, afternoon or midday, and evening shifts. My day starts at 4:30, these days like 4 a.m., and finishes at 8 p.m. That is my last coaching session, and then I am off home. Now, could you imagine if I had to transit half an hour to work? My day would have to start at 3:30 a.m., and I would finish and get home at like 8:45. So by the time I'd wind down, fuck, it'd be like 10 o'clock, and waking up 3:30, so that is a maximum sleep I'm giving myself, like a solid 5.5 hours of sleep. Now, that is considered sleep deprivation. So just by setting up a system for myself, that's a pretty fucking stupid system. So I was willing to risk it. And look, sure, I understand a lot of you guys aren't in a position to maybe pay more on your rent, whatever it is, right? I'm lucky enough that I run my own business, but I didn't get there by chance. Nobody gave me this business. I've fucking busted my dick off to get here, to be able to make these choices for myself. And there's nothing stopping you from being able to do the same. There's only excuses in your way. Every person that has your same name, position, everything has found a way to do something that you want somewhere along the lines, right? There is a personal trainer, I guarantee you, that owns a gym somewhere out in the world that is doing better than me, that had a similar, very, very similar origin story to me, right? But I fall back on that excuse of like, well, fuck, I didn't start off in the best place and fucking da, 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 da. And sure, to some extent, you can understand that. But if I fell back on that all the time, I wouldn't be where I'm at, because I'd use that as a crutch to support me when I was, you know, not doing the things that I needed to do, right? Let's say, you know, if, for example, out partying and go blaming it on my genetics that, like, you know, both my parents were fucking drug addicts, so therefore it's okay for me to party. Like, that's not okay. So with that being said, I know I'm just trying to give you guys a well-rounded explanation and, like, I guess, reason to back up why your thoughts and behaviors should change to make sure that you have a better life for yourself. My gym is now inbuilt into my day in the morning. For years, 5-6 years that I've been running my PT business, I used to train during the middle of the day because 4 a.m. was just too much. I wasn't willing to sacrifice that, especially that I finished at like 8. Now I don't really give a fuck. I go home, I feed the cats, I wake up, I go to train, and I get the best start to my morning, which is training, out of the way. The rest of my day is fucking mad. All I have to do is a walk, and then I can do literally whatever I want, whatever is in front of me, or I can go home and have a nap if I need a rest. To me, that's a massive, massive win. So that way, I've shaved half an hour of transit from getting to the gym, to and back from the gym, right? So don't go to Gold's anymore, which I did for a long time. Now that's out of the way. Don't need to transit or travel too far to get to work. That's out of the way. So the most I'll travel in the morning is 5 minutes in the car, which takes me about 10 minutes. I have to leave at, let's say I want to get to the gym at 4:55 for set up at 5 or 4:50. I got to leave home at 4:50 to get here at 4:55, regardless of traffic, okay? Instead of having to leave here at 4:25 to get here. So I save an hour a day. You do that over the course of a week, that's 5 hours a week. Over 10 weeks, that's 50 hours. That is a whole working week. I'm getting ahead. And every 10 weeks, that is literally 5 whole weeks. I'm getting ahead. And you compound that by 10, 20, 30 years. Well, guess what? I'm years ahead of people that just live a little bit further away. So I'm adding that to my advantages in life. Right? That's called systemizing and setting yourself up for success. Okay. Now, same thing goes for my gym. So I was like, I'm spending 15 minutes going to Gold's at like 12 in the afternoon. I'm not really feeling the vibe. There's a lot of heads there and it costs me $27 a week. So if I want to be in my own space, have my own pre-workout, my own post-workout, everything here that I can get done, why the fuck would I not? And it's going to save me $27 a week and half an hour a day of time, which is 2.5 hours a week worth of, you know, transit time. So I'm already at work and I can have a shower. Everything's fucking good. So with that being said, I can save another 30. Now I'm not saying to get your own home gym. I'm just explaining my systems and hopefully that you guys can implement something similar in your life. I've got showers at my gym. That's why. So people can implement a nice little system in their life. Okay. So you're ready to go as soon as, you know, the bell calls for you to be there. So I've already saved what, an hour off my day from implementing those habits. Okay. No more. Hour and a half, 1.5 hours a week. Now let's talk meal prep. So meal prep, I get pre-cooked rice. Cups, basmati, I get frozen veg, I get pre-marinated chicken breast, I get tuna in cans, I get vac-packed steaks so they stay fresh, and I get like protein, yogurts and shit and kind of all that sort of stuff and bottled water because that means I'm going to drink a bit more water and stay a bit more hydrated, which keeps me fuller for longer, which stops me from essentially like binging and shit. So that is a system there. That meal prep system saves me from having to meal prep 2-3 hours at home on a Sunday. So We've saved, what, 1.5 hours a day, which is 7.5 hours a week. I've saved 10 hours a week, right? Cool. 10 hours a week, which is like over a full working day, just by putting in and implementing basic systems, okay? Now, this might seem challenging to you to understand, but in terms of setting yourself up for success, this is the best thing you can fucking do. Because then at 10 hours, I can either fucking use to jerk myself off for 10 hours straight if I want to, and not a crime committed. Or I can use it to double down and better my life by doing more work or things that I like, creative stuff that I want to do, whatever it is. I can put my I guess, what do you want to call it? Like garbage time, you know, transit shit you don't actually need into more important stuff. It could be rest and relaxation. It could be work. Whatever it is that I dictate that's more important, I can actually have the freedom to put it to there. Now, that's how I've actually been able to do a successful 1-on-6 PT business as well and not feel burnt out and thrashed. Because a lot of PTs, what they'll do is they'll do 10 to 12 hours straight if they're really successful. They'll pull in a grand or 1.2 grand a day. That's about 5 to 6K a week. And sure, that sounds good. You're earning $200,000 to $250,000 a year as an A-grade PT. Cool. But you're also working 50, 60 hours a week. Now, I'm working 30 hours a week. Now, providing the same value, the same amount of guidance, but optimizing and systemizing my life so I can live a really good life, do the things that I love, not feel burnt out, and actually be a better contributor to more people's lives. I couldn't handle 65 clients on my own if I didn't have a 1-on-6 like a schedule. If I had 65 clients and they were all 1-on-1s, I'd be fucked because everyone would want to change timetables all the time. You'd have cancellations, rebookings, all this sort of shit. But now I don't have that. And it's a system that works for everybody. Everybody's really happy in my gym and they love being here. So with that being said, like if you can kind of take a couple of the lessons that I've put myself through to come out with this amazing outcome, which I believe is like a really healthy work-life balance, a really strong system, and a lot of free time that I can put to whatever it is that I want, I think there's a lot of lessons to be learned there. I'm open to being wrong. But yeah, those are just some of the things that I see. Now, the meal prep side of stuff as well. What that does is simplifying that process. I've just pretty much found what my weight loss calories are, and I just choose to eat about 2,000 to 2,500 calories a day. That's it. Because I don't want to lose weight. Some days I'll go up to 3K. Some days, 35. But I know the end of it all, I'll be going back down to 2,000 to 2,500. Around that ballpark. Now, yesterday, had two bowls of tuna and rice. Two tins of tuna, packet of rice. Two tins of tuna, packet of rice. Pretty boring, but I just had to get the job done and I had to get food in. That was it. Then I had a crispy chicken burger from Macca's and then a cheeseburger, double cheeseburger, no cheese. Macca's, and that was, oh, and then I had like a protein pizza, and what else? Yeah, like a couple bars of chocolate, single serve. Now that's like pretty much a successful 2,800 calorie dieting day, which will serve me really, really well. Now I'll still be in a deficit on that day too, just not a big one, and I'm okay with that. Like the Sunday I didn't eat much, was hungover as fuck. So I opted out of really eating a shitload of food, but I'm just not reactive to my food anymore. And so being able to create a system that facilitates weight loss, I've lost 13, 14 kilos almost this last 15 months, all by having a system in place. Now I set that system up with my coach, Ben. I said, hey man, I need to commit to a 3-year program with you, a 3-year system with you. I want to become this person when I do it. And so pretty much we just figured out a system that worked for me, which was essentially building out a framework or a way of eating that I enjoyed and then just getting better at eating at that framework. That's it. Eating steak more often than not, eating chicken more often than not, having a regular breakfast more often than not, like a bacon egg roll, no butter on the bread, my famous little thing. Having that more often than not, steering away from iced coffees and that sort of shit unless I really need it as a treat. Like just tidying up all the garbage that I didn't really need and then maximizing my protein intake. Magic. Dropped 14, 15 kilos in, or 13, 14 kilos in like 15 months. My goal was 20 kilos in 3 years. I have definitely overtaken that goal. and I look like I'm in really good shape at the moment, and I can't wait to get in even better shape. So this is a system, again, that's really, really easy to follow. So we've got location, you can move. We've got where you decide to train, you can change. How you decide to train, you can change, okay? We've got meal prep systems that you can implement. Now, if you're not trying to tidy up and save time every single week, what the fuck are you doing? Like, why are you wasting your life? You deserve so much better than to let yourself slip into dumb, or mismanaged. I'm learning about self-compassion in therapy at the moment. I don't really have a lot. I think I do, but like, maybe I don't. I'm open to being wrong on it, but I'm pretty sure that I'm perfect. That's a joke. All my exes listening. Joke. I'm working on self-compassion. So I'm working on like how I'm, it's not a dumb decision. It's just a decision that's not best suited to you. Right? How's that? Self-compassion. A grade, Mr. Therapist. Thank you, Kurt. You're the man. All right. Anyway. Way off track. So there's all these little systems in place that I put in myself. I hope you guys can understand the importance and like how that's affected my life. I essentially get a whole workday free from just doing nothing, and it makes my life better. So like better life, better outcomes, less time. Crazy. My ethos at Risk Fitness is working harder, not smarter. Smarter, not harder. Fuck. Working smarter, not harder. And as long as I've centered my life around that, I've been able to build a really profitable business, not spending a fuckload of time in there in terms of like wasted time. I don't need to be there time. I've been able to build a really good rig with a, you know, moderate amount of training. I think 5 days a week, an hour, 5 hours a week for a really strong physique, I think is like pretty reasonable considering there's people doing 10 hours plus. I think 40 minutes to an hour of cardio, of walking every day as the max cardio that I do, is pretty fucking reasonable. I think that's pretty good. So there's just that as well. So I've got all these really good things in my life that are going to set me up for success. Now, am I the best version of myself now? No, fuck no. I drank way too much on Saturday when I went to the lawn bowls thing. Like, not good. I don't feel good after that. Okay. I'm not proud of that performance, but I'm on the way of getting there. And there's nothing wrong with claiming about where you're at and looking forward to where you're going to be. Like last year, started last year, I was really fat, man. I was really overweight for my standards. I was unhappy as well. And I wasn't where I wanted to be, but I made a commitment with my coach. I was like, dude, got like 3 years, boom, let's do it. Full transparency. I've told my coach, I'm actually sweet, man. I don't need these check-ins anymore. I've been doing this for, you know, 14 months and I haven't really missed a beat. The only time that I kind of like dipped off a bit was my birthday. And then maybe like when I had some interpersonal stuff with my ex. And like that was like a really challenging time for me for about like 3 or 4 weeks. And so my eating was just like really gross. Outside of that, my eating was like perfect. So, you know, I was like, oh, you know, I'm going to bounce. And like, it's been like 3 weeks and or 4 weeks even, and I've been doing great because I've put that system in place. Now, am I saying you don't need a coach? Maybe you don't. Probably if you're listening, you might. But I'm at that stage now where I don't need that. And I hope for that for you guys too in the future. It just has to be backed up by actual work. That's the only issue there with that sort of stuff. It has to be backed up by actual work. Because I've been doing training for 15 years and now finally I'm at this stage where I'm like, I don't have to think about food. It sorts itself out. Magic. And when I'm serious, there's no binge restrict shit. There's nothing like that. I had 2 burgers yesterday. Fucking felt great about it too. I was like, getting the job done. Nice. You know, and like I have never had that feeling prior to that. Like I was really guilting myself out that I've ever indulged. Know this, know that. And when I do, I'd feel guilty. And it's just like, I'm just coaching myself to not feel that. And that is through the use of beautiful, amazing systems. So I'm going to rest my case on systems and finish giving you guys examples because I feel like I've rambled enough today and I'm not ready to continue that. Now, I want to talk about being non-emotional and reactive. Now, this is something that I've not really been that good at, okay? So, like, maybe, like, in intimate relationships as well, I feel like I've been pretty good in them. But, like, you know, there's cases where I haven't been. So I'm not going to say that, like, by and large, I'm amazing at relationships. I'm, like, I'm not in one. So, like, obviously, might not be that great at them. Or picking the right people for me. I like to rest my head on that one. I think I just made it for this decision is based on my childhood. However, those are the areas that I pretty much get the most emotional. Being realistic, intimate relationships really fuck me, like, hard. There's a lot of, like, abandonment and that sort of stuff, like, around there. A lot of rejection, a lot of fear of disappointment, a lot of fear of failure, fearing that I'm not good enough for another person to be loved. Like, there's all fucking heavy shit that, like, I experience into relationships. So, as a result, I go through really, like, peaks and troughs with them. I experience a lot of extremes. There's not a lot of days where, like, and I think it's a result of picking the wrong person for me as well. Because I've been in relationships where I've actually felt really at peace and present, but then I think it wasn't, either I fucked it or, like, it wasn't the right fit. And I'm pretty quick to, like, if it's not the right fit, you know, which again might be an issue of my own, I don't know. Anyway, moving right along, just being transparent where I find my emotional, I don't get really emotional around training, food, friendships, family relationships, and maybe it's like intimate stuff. I suppose maybe that's the same for everybody. But with work stuff, I'm not really, I might just get overwhelmed if I'm not making cash. But, like, I think everybody would get overwhelmed if their business isn't doing well. I think that's a very normal emotion, but I'm also working to make that not a thing in the future. Okay. Doing a lot of therapy around that and just training myself to be non-emotional. Now, what I see, success leaves clues. The people that are non-reactive, maybe not non-emotional, maybe that's a bad word to use, but the people that are non-reactive to external things happening. And I've talked about this previously on podcasts, like, you know, being the thermos and not letting what's outside affect what's inside. Same thing, but just different label. Being non-reactive is a really great way to live your life. Okay. Now, it's like the, you know, the subtle art of not giving a fuck. I don't think I've even read that. As the title is enough, right? Learn how to not give a fuck. Thanks. Read the book. If you need to sit through that, then fair enough. But I don't know how many lessons that book can teach me. Maybe that's just me being stubborn. But I feel like it's just like, for me, being non-reactive to life is going to be best supportive of everything that you do. Everything that you do. Like, if you want to lift weights, let's say you're an emotional person, you're reactive. Well, guess what? If you're feeling shit one day or something bad happens to you, you're going to say fuck training because you're emotional about it. If you're non-reactive and you just go regardless of how you feel, you're going to get the job done. Food is the same. If you're sad and you feel whatever you feel and you're going to eat food to ease that feeling, you're always going to go back to that. Oh, fuck yeah. You're always going to go back to that. Okay. Regardless of what it is, if that's, I mean, food, could be drugs and alcohol, could be anything. Typically, our stress relieving tools are there for when we experience stress. So just follow the stress and follow the tool you use, food, drugs, alcohol, shopping, gambling, whatever it might be for you. And that's going to be a great way to create some self-awareness around what you need to train yourself to be non-reactive about. Now, I can't give you the tools exactly to be non-reactive to that. I'm doing a thing with therapy at the moment. It's called EMDR. It's like emotional something processing. I don't know what the fuck. We'll find out what it is. EMDR. Eye movement, desensitization, and reprocessing. Magic. So it's the idea that you can retrain or process stressful events through desensitization. Okay. So I'm doing that at the moment to help me with some traumatic life events that I've experienced, really like heavy shit from childhood. And so far, like the little things that we've done together as a team, me and my therapist have been fucking amazing. Like it's changed everything in terms of like how I view myself, which is stories that I reflect on sometimes not consciously, but like every day, you know, I'll have these ideas about, hey, you know, who I am and what's going on in my life every day. And that can really like guide my thinking and guide my behavior, you know, because if I don't feel good, if I don't feel like I'm enough, and maybe I'll make some foolish short-minded or short-term decisions to back that up or reinforce that, like some sort of self-fulfilling prophecy, right? So I think it's a really good idea to find out what you're reactive about and learn your best to be non-reactive about it. For me, it was food. Like that was my number one outlet. It was food and drugs for ages. Then it became just like food. And then it's like a mixture, I think. You know, sometimes I'll drink a lot, sometimes I'll, But it's rarely food anymore. It's probably mainly drinking, if I'm being fucking honest. That's probably one of the bigger stress reliever tools, which is, again, something that I'm working on at the mo, because they all just tend to pop their ugly heads up at different times. Like, it's fucked, man. But one thing that I have realized, and that's really helped me, is learning to be non-reactive. You can be emotional about something. You can feel emotion. You can understand that something's sad. You know, you can feel good about something. But don't change your life or change your behavior or change anything based on like heavy feelings of, if you're in a heavy state of like upward sort of motion, you feel really good about life, don't change a thing. If you feel really down about life, don't change a thing. If you feel flat, as in like no good, no bad, like it is what it is, or like I feel like a 6 out of 7, I feel like that's kind of like where you should make your choices. Because you're in a sound state of mind. You're in a balanced state of mind. But if you're very elated, that's not true to reality. If you're very depressed, that's not true to reality. 6 to 7, make your choices. Okay? And that's what I learned to do with Ben. I stuck out my training and I said, look, regardless of how the fuck I feel, I cannot cancel coaching. Okay? I have to show up for myself every week. And yeah, sometimes I didn't fucking want to do that. I have clients right now that don't fucking even text me on the weigh-in day. Like every week I was there texting my coach like, hey, this is my weight. These are my photos. And it was like same for fucking the Tuesday check-in call. Hey, bro, how's everything going? Good. Or hey, bro, I overeat. Fuck. You know, I'm exactly where I thought I'd be. Thanks. See you next week. See you next week. You know, and you just got to let those things play out. And it's like reps and reps and reps. And the more I do something, the more I become desensitized to it. So that's kind of my thinking around like being non-reactive. It's like experience life a lot and hopefully process in the right way and you become less reactive to it. Okay. Or go to therapy, get some treatment on whatever that's causing you a lot of stress or like some improper, some dysfunctional behavior patterns, figure out the source of that and then get moving. It's all good. Team, bit of a different one today. Hope this podcast has been beneficial. Next week or the week after, I'm going to set up a nice little studio in here. Hopefully like some couches and shit, make it a little bit more fun. And hopefully get some other coaches and some guests on here that can provide you guys with a little bit more insight other than this guy here. I mean, I know I'm amazing, but I'm sure there's better coaches out there than me. So I want to talk to them and I want to get some different opinions on here. Wanted to give you guys the most well-rounded sense of, I guess, opinions that you guys can get, but two, just to make it entertaining and something different. So talk to you guys in the next one. Thanks for tuning into the Protein Bites podcast. Remember, we only get people to be able to see this if you review it and follow it on Spotify. So please give us a 5-star review on Spotify or wherever you're watching this. Really helps the podcast out because I don't pay anything from this and I dedicate half an hour of my time every week to make sure I can give you guys some information in ways that you really like receiving it. There's YouTube videos, there's absolutely everything cranking on my end. So we're always trying to tweak and optimize and give you guys the best experience that we can. Hope you guys feel that on a receiving end. Thank you so much for tuning in. Love you guys. Talk to you guys in the next one. Peace.